The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to talk about what is the value of the Old Testament for the New Testament Christian. That's a good idea, right? Also, wait for it. And then we're going to try and get right to surprise.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah, that's what we're doing today. Surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, not today. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. I'll let you know right now, we paid our bill this month. We're not going anywhere. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. Yesterday's show, a little tough, a little political, a little emotional. Little all about, the abortion process. You want any information on that, go to YouTube, David Spoon. Go YouTube, David Spoon. Actually, it will pull up if you do that, ironically. You can go to Facebook, YouTube, whatever. You can go to David Spoon Media. You can look at the video, condense it all to make it a little easier for people to handle. But we're not doing that today. We're doing trivia today. I got a great joke. We're doing the joke. We're talking about what the holidays are on the calendar. But first, we're going to give acknowledgement to one of our two sponsors and two more sponsors en route. Here we go. Our very first sponsor joined our program, our very own John.
Big John. Big John.
Now, John is the owner of the Blessed Roofing Company, and you can go to theblessedroofingcompany.com to look at the website. Here's the deal you got to know. There's rain. You guys have a lot more rain than people told me. People said, rain? Ugh, not so much. Oh, no, plenty of rain. All the lakes are full, I guess. Here's the deal. When that rain hits and there's hail that's hitting, guess what happens? There's a roofers that are getting a damaged. That's my new language I just made up. So you want to call somebody that can help you do a free inspection, no money out of pocket for repair or replacement. You want to call John, 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. 469-BLESSED, or go to his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. Fill out the information. Let him contact you. He will do the inspection for free, no cost, no weirdness with the insurance company, nothing bizarre, nothing fraudulent, everything proper, appropriate. That's how you want to get it done. That's how you want to get your roof taken care of. Got it? Get it? Good. All right. I'm going to see John and Pam tomorrow. We'll talk about Pam a little bit in the next segment. I do want to acknowledge a couple things. Today is National Waiter and Waitress Day. If you've ever gone out to eat, you've most likely, in most scenarios, not all scenarios, but most scenarios, had a waiter or waitress. Just in case you are en route to go out to eat or you go out to eat tonight, just be aware of that. That's a tough profession. Especially when they drop stuff. That was really good. That's really good. The idea there, though, is I mean, if you've ever listened to this show for more than 10 minutes, you can just imagine me at a restaurant, right? So that person automatically deserves an extra 5% no matter what I do. Just walking in, I'm not going to be walking out of there with less than a 20% tip. And yes, tip means to ensure promptness, but that's not how we do it anymore. Okay? All right. That's how they make a fair, a decent amount of those wages. So let's support them in that. Well, National Waiter and Waitress Day. Also, for those that don't know, because you didn't get the memo, today is National Memo Day. Did you like that one? That's a good one, right? The Post-it people probably made it up. I'm just saying. I don't know for a fact. I just think so. All right, our trivia question before we get into our teaching. I have a fabulous joke. We're going to wait until the next segment to do it. It is absolutely fantastic. Why? Because I think it is. Let's talk about our first trivia question. See if you guys are staying on top of things. So this will be an easier one to start with. Our number, by the way, 972-445-0770. Who took over for Moses? Now, we know the ultimate answer is God, but I'm saying people-wise, who took over for Moses? 972-445-0770. You are welcome to give an answer to that question. Who took over for Mo? Who took over for Mo?
Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo!
Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo!
Well, yuck, 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 yuck.
Thank you. I did it a second time, and that's when Julie was like, aha! I know where he's going with this. So I was going to do all these interesting different teachings. We're going to do a variety of teachings today. Encountered something, I think, that was being led by the Holy Spirit. I certainly hope so, and I hope this is beneficial for you, but I came across something in 1 Samuel 13 about an hour and a half ago, and I already studied and already done all my preparation for the show, so anything that comes at any other time, I just want to be really aware of and kind of stay connected to and in sync with. And so there's this passage in 1 Samuel 10:8. Is that right? Yeah, 1 Samuel 10:8. I'm going to read it to you, then I'm going to read to you what happened, and I'll tell you what it made me think of, and maybe it'll spark something in you as well. This is Samuel giving instructions to Saul, the newly appointed king for Israel, and he told him this in 1 Samuel 8, "Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." Listen to that again. Simple instructions, right? Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. As fast forward there to 1 Samuel 13, and this is what it says. Saul remained in Gilgal, and all the troops were with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offering." And Saul offered up the burnt offering, and just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and you did not come at the set time and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought now the Philistines will come down against Gilgal and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You've not kept the commandment the Lord your God gave you." Ooh, Boise. This is some really serious stuff. Boise, Idaho, right here. So Saul gets instructions from Samuel to go. He goes to the city of Gilgal, and he's supposed to wait there 7 days. He waits 7 days, and while he's waiting on the 7th day, his men are shaking. They're quaking with fear, and they're beginning to scatter. So instead of waiting for the prophet, he decides, I'll just fill in for the prophet. I'll just take control of the situation.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, he did too. Can you believe it? Here's what he did. He did not wait for the prophet. He did not wait for the man of God and decided to take the man of God's position. This, by the way, from a political point of view, is what happens in a theocratic government when the kings stop listening to the prophets. Ah! But here, in this case, Saul was looking around him, and what was happening? The people were freaking out. They were quaking with fear. They were scattering, and he took control. I'm going to take control of this bad boy right now. He was supposed to wait 7 days, and then Samuel was going to arrive. What we do know for sure is on the seventh day, Samuel didn't get there the way that the time that Saul thought he should get there. And so because he didn't arrive at the specific time Saul had anticipated, Saul took control of the situation. And that's what we do. Hello, Saul. How are you? What do you mean? Well, see, the Lord says he's going to do something, and it gets to be that seventh day. Now, the day wasn't over yet, but it's close enough. And so he took over. And he did the offering on his own. You see, we start to be, we're like the men and we're like Saul. We start to shake. We start to quake. We start to freak out. We're right at the end. We're right up against it. And then we decide we're going to take control of it. And God was coming through anyway. And it was still going to take care of everything. But we just couldn't hold the obedience and the faith at the moment. We had to help God along. Have you ever done that? Tried to help God along just by helping him fulfill the prayer or the request or the desire that he had for you? Have you ever tried to help him along by being the Holy Spirit for him? Don't lie. Tell the truth. God doesn't like that. I do it not all the time, every day. But it's wrong. You understand? All right, we'll take a short break and come back to it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that he's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve.
If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541. Or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience in education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541, or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's right, right here in Texas. Trivia question that's on the table. Who took over for Mo? That would be Moses. Who took over for him? Our number here, 972-445-0770. Who took over for Mo? That's the question. If you want, send an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Our website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. There you go. The one thing I do like about davidspoonmedia.com is you can click there, and there are the podcasts from this show, which, by the way, Friday will be our 50th show. Wow, already. And then there are 1,250 shows from the prior stuff that I used to do. So we cover a lot of topics. A lot of topics there are available for you, just to let you know. Okay, let's first give another acknowledgement for our very own Pamela Melchione.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amor.
That's Melchione. Okay, that's right. I'm rewriting it. Pamela from theblessedrealtycompany.com. The Blessed Realty Company is where she's going now. Now, this is her group, her passion, her love, her direction, her call, her ministry. And you're thinking, how is that possible that somebody can have be a real estate agent and have that be a passion? God puts different desires in different people's hearts to do different things. One of the things that she loves to do is she loves to serve and to take care of, and that's an important component. And she serves and takes care of the people that God brings into her lives, into her life. And she does it in real estate. And she doesn't do it just to get a kind of a bonus paycheck or something. It's not just a living. It's her ministry. It's her life. And she wants to do it right and do it before the Lord. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. Pamela Melchione. I get to see her tomorrow as well, both her and John tomorrow for lunch. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. Okay, so Wonderdrew, we had somebody call in. I think we missed it. They called and then it zipped away. So let's just say, call back if you have an answer. And the question was, who took over? Who took over for Moses? And first of all, what bravery. I wouldn't have. With those people? Are you kidding? Oh, my goodness. I don't think I'd done that. Anyway, our number, 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. Remember, we've had some tech problems. Most everything is worked out today, so I think we've got it back online. Give a holler if you want to answer that question. Who took over for Moses, for our Mo guy? I want to just go back to this just real quickly because I want to show you how far out this can go and make sure you understand that this is a collective happening amongst believers all the way through, good believers and quote-unquote bad believers. Here in the situation that we were talking about, oh, there's the call. Okay, so they're there. I'm going to wait and let them come in and answer. And then we're going to talk about Saul for, under the freak-out situation. Because nobody else has ever had a freak-out situation where things have gone to the very end, have they? Oh, wait, they have. Oh, wait, they have. Oh, wait, I have. Where I thought, God's got to do this in this amount of time, and if he doesn't do it in this amount of time, things are really going to get shaky. Things are going to get dicey. Things are going to get ugly. And so with that in mind, do we have a response? Hello? Oh, I can't hear you.
I could turn on the microphone and that helps. Well, it was Richard, and okay. He said it's as easy as the nose on your face. It's Joshua.
That is correct, Richard. That is correct. Easy as the nose on my face. Careful there. My nose is rather big. My nose is rather big. Yeah, that was an easier one. We got a tougher one coming right behind you. Just relax. But that's good job. Thank you, sir, for answering that question. All right, let's go back to Saul. So here's the situation. I want to make sure you understand it. Saul gets instructions from Samuel. Okay, I'm going to use these names to help you understand, because if you get offended at stuff like this, change the channel, okay? Sammy tells Saul, go there, wait 7 days, I'm going to show up, I'm going to do the offering, okay? Saul goes, okie dokie. At the end of 7 days, the 7 days haven't been completed yet, but the time is closing in, the people around Saul are getting quaky-ish. They're full of fear. They're starting to scatter. And so in order not to have everybody scatter and to lose everything and have everything fall apart, Saul takes action on his own. Doesn't wait for Samuel. Right after he finishes, what happens? Sammy comes walking in. And that should tell you everything. And how often does that happen? Right when you decide, I'm going to take control of this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to help with this. Then, right, if you just waited a little longer, the Lord would have been, you know, been perfect. Everything would have worked out great. Unless you think that only lacking Christians do this, or lacking believers, let me say it that way, Abraham did this. So before you get all high and mighty, I doubt your level of faith is to that of Abraham. Might be, could be. Typically, we're considered to be children of Abraham, children of him through faith, through son, through blood, but through faith primarily. When Abraham and Sarah were told they were going to have a promised child, and it didn't happen in the timely manner, and then Sarah said to Abraham, okay, go sleep with her, and let's produce this child so we can fulfill this promise that God has given us. That was Hagar that he slept with, and Ishmael was the result. Now, it was about 13 years later that God said, now's the time for the promise to come to pass. And then, all of a sudden, from Abraham, he had Isaac, right? And it's like, wait. Abraham didn't wait for God. Abraham and Sarah didn't wait for God. What happened? They produced a child. What happened? The child became a problem for the promise child. When we create something because we can't wait for God, it oftentimes comes back and bites us by the tushy. Because it's not what God was trying to do or wanted to do. Let me rephrase that. It's not what God wanted to do when he wanted to do it. And so we try to step in for the Lord and get it done for the Lord. Because after all, how's he going to do it without our help? And so in this circumstance, you have Samuel who told Saul, wait till I get there. It's getting really close. The day is almost ending. You know it's getting right to it. And then Saul decides, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to make this happen on my own. That one decision cost Saul the kingdom. Because he wouldn't wait. Now, you don't have to tell me. At all. I mean, I can bring my wife and have her testify 9 trillion times. I am so bad with patience. I can only respond by saying, I'm not a doctor. I have no patience. I mean, I just can't. I'm terrible at it. I pray for patience every day, but I do pray pretty much similar to everybody else. I want patience. I want it now. And so the problem there is that what we do is, instead of waiting on the Lord, remember that scripture, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, we fret in the Lord and use our strength instead of renewing our strength. And then we produce problems. Then we can't figure out what the problem is. I know what the problem is. Us. Me. I was talking to the Lord today in my prayer time, and I said, the problem is not on your end, it's on my end. I don't have the patience. I don't have the ability to see what you see. And because I don't see it, I don't have that level of trust. And because I don't have that level of trust, then I need to take control. And when that happens, it hurts us. Because we're not, what's the word I'm looking for? We're not showing or demonstrating or walking in a confidence in God. So I have a new repentance line. I said, I now say, forgive me for the shouting and the doubting. See, for a Jewish guy, that's really good. So shouting and doubting. Because I'm shouting because I'm doubting. And that's what happened with Saul. He couldn't hang out. He just didn't listen to the command of the Lord. And if the Lord tells you to do something, you got to hang in there. You got to just be like, the Lord said, do this, I'm doing it. What if it produces nothing? So what? You don't want to get to heaven and have God say, well, I asked you to do this. And you go, well, it wasn't going to do everything I thought it was going to do. Nobody cares. You and I are supposed to do what the Lord tells us to do. Now, we have fundamental, general specifics that are in the framework of Scripture that we need to be working on each and every day. Being thankful is being, like, at the top of the list. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it tells you what the will is right there. But as the Lord gives us different chores or different tasks or different assignments, which is all the way through Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, we got to do them no matter what we anticipate the result. Most of the time we're like Gideon. I want a sign. I want a sign. I want a sign. The problem is we get a sign, we still don't believe it. Even Gideon needed a dream after he got the signs. I'm telling you, we got to believe a little bit better. Got to believe just a little bit more. But most importantly, we got to hang on a little bit longer. If we waited just a little bit longer, if we just wait a little longer, we wouldn't have to hear Samuel go, what are you doing? I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of hearing that. I'm a bit tired. I bet God's not happy with me having to do that. I need to let go and have a lot more confidence. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Oh, yeah, I'm liking that. I think I'm just going to set it up that way. You want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. Okay, two things to tell you. One, I got one more trivia question for you. If you're feeling kind of on top of it, you got an opportunity. Which disciple didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead? There's a specific one that stood out from amongst the rest. 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. You can also use that phone number to share a praise or a prayer request. Either way, we'll be more than glad to participate. Until we get to that point, I'm going to do a teaching here on the Old Testament and New Testament Christian and the Old Testament scriptures. But before I get there, I have a joke. Do we have a, I don't think we have a joke. Do we don't have a joke thing, do we? That's probably anything that we have in there. We should probably come up with ha, 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 something like that. By the way, my wife tells me my jokes are terrible. I'm not going to say anything other than my sister-in-law also thinks my jokes are terrible. In fact, everybody I know, my son, my daughter, my other son, my grandkids who don't fully understand formed words think that my jokes are terrible. Everybody thinks my jokes are bad. Is it?
Saved by the bell.
Saved by the bell. That's right. This is David. Who do we got on the phone?
Michael Rush, sir.
How you doing, sir?
Great. It's a beautiful sunny day outside.
There you go. And when it's not, don't forget, it's liquid sunshine. <That's
it. laughs> Great.
All right. Which disciple didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead? His own big moment there in Scripture. Which one was it?
I believe that would be Thomas.
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Good job. I mean, that's what's important to understand about that, is that it wasn't like he was it's not that he wanted to disbelieve. He was just like too overawed and shocked and like, come on, this can't be real, you know, kind of thing. And I'm not sure I'd been that far away from that. I think that was amazing. Yet, by the grace of God, here we are, right, brother?
That's correct. I believe we've all had our doubts in certain areas, and through the grace of God, we've overcome them.
That's right. Exactly right. Well, I appreciate you calling in and give us the answer. So when you hear the joke that I'm going to tell after you hang up, just remember, just because it's lousy doesn't mean it's not funny.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Thank you, sir. All right. Okay, here we go. And then after this, we're going to get into the Old Testament, New Testament stuff. Okay, so here we go. That was a good save by the bell, though, huh? Right on time. Oh, that's good. All right. Now, remember, I'm just reaching out here, so a little bit of mercy. Here it goes. This is in a first-person context. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian? Are you Jewish? He said, I'm a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Me too as well. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, die, heretic, and I pushed him over.
Get in the hole!
Come on, people! That is funny! You see, all the way down, right down at the. If you can't laugh. Okay, besides a merry heart does make like medicine, what would you rather do? Turn the news on and then pull your eyeballs out? Okay, that's your option. Let's talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. We are New Testament Christians. You are most likely a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Some of you are spirit-filled. You go by spirit-filled. Some of you don't go by spirit-filled. Not offending me. You mean it's not? There's not a label to put on this. Some of you believe in more of a Baptist tradition. Some of you believe in more of a Pentecostal tradition. Doesn't offend me. I believe in both those traditions. I think they're great. Well, you can't believe in both of them. Okay, I'm right here. I'm telling you. I'm right here with an ordination from both groups. Here's the thing. What does that have to do with the Old Testament? Well, here's the important element. The New Testament, the word testament, is covenant, agreement. It's really not contract the way we would use a contract. It's much more of an agreement. There's a lot of variation, especially when you get into Bible college and seminary when they talk about the overall concept of the two, but it's really an agreement. And in the old agreement, man could not keep his position and blew it and destroyed it. And the reason we have a new covenant, besides that Jesus established that in his teachings, is in the new covenant, God helps us on our part. He does his part, but then helps us on our part. In the old covenant, it was a mess, and then we find out that the law was given to be a tutor to bring us unto Christ, and you get into the real deep theology of the whole thing was set up so that we could learn that we needed to be fully dependent, and even though we're fully dependent, now in this partnership with God, we can accomplish that which God wanted us to accomplish before. But all that to say this. Well, okay, but I'm trying to figure out what part of the Bible to read. Should I read the Old Testament, Dave? Yes. Okay, wait. I want to make sure. Does everybody hear that? Yes. Should I read the New Testament? Yes. Should I read the Old and New Testament? Yes and yes. That would be the right answer on that. But why bother with the Old Testament if we have a New Testament? Good question. Let's look at what Jesus had to say and what the rest of Scripture has to say. Matthew 12:1-3, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? Jesus says to the Pharisees, haven't you read the Bible? Now remember, there was no Old Testament, New Testament at this point. Okay, while the new covenant was being ushered in, and some would argue it came through John, and some would argue it didn't come till the death of Christ, and some would argue it came when he did the communion, established communion. Really? Really? You can't miss the point any further. Okay? Jesus is like, okay, didn't you guys read this? Haven't you read? Didn't you read what David did? And so he takes the time and illustrates for them, hey, don't you understand that the scripture teaches this? What takes place in a lot of people's minds is they will cherry pick for lack of a better term. I'm sure I'm politically offending somebody somewhere, but I don't know how. But basically, cherry picking is essentially when you would play basketball and you would pick the best spot to shoot from. You would get the pass and you shoot, or you would cherry pick. You would just pick the best of what was available, or you would just pick what was best for you and what was most suited for you. Now it's funny because it's not even really accurate to say cable TV people cherry pick. They don't cherry pick. They just totally abuse. There's no real picking. But in our case, there's a lot of people that will pick bits and pieces and portions, and they will use them to further their concept. Jesus didn't disregard any of the Old Testament. There's a difference between civil, ceremonial, and moral law, but he didn't disregard the Old Testament, and he goes right to a story about David. Didn't you read what David did? Everybody loves David. I don't see you getting mad at David. Why are you getting mad at my disciples? And so he challenges them immediately. Because what? Because they haven't read the whole of Scripture. They've read pieces. They're stuck in Leviticus. It's just like, no wonder they were grumpy. So don't tell me it's not more fun to read 1 Samuel than it is Leviticus. That's a total lie. It's so much more fun to read the history. Come on. But you need to read it all. And so Jesus is like, come, what David did? What, have you guys not even read that? Well, that was giving validity to the Old Testament. And let me just give you a couple stats that might throw you for a bit of a curve. I hope they do. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and there are 27 books in the New Testament. It's essentially letters and books, let's say. But books, let's just call them. Biblios, the book, or books is another translation. In the Old Testament, there are 39. In the New Testament, 27 of the 39 books are quoted. 27 of them are quoted 78 times by Jesus. Wow. 209 times by the apostles. So 27 of the 39 are quoted, 78 times Jesus quotes, and 209 times the apostles. And by the way, Jesus quoted 92.some-odd% of the Septuagint, which was the translation, which wasn't the original Hebrew, just so you could know. I'm just telling you, you can get mad as mad as you want. He quoted definitively the first major translation. No question about it. So 27 books quoted in the Old Testament, 78 times by Jesus, 209 times by the apostles. There is a lot of value to the Old Testament. But what I need to know, because I'm an idiot, is how does this work for me? If I read the Old Testament, what do I do? How does it process? How do I read it and absorb it? Because I don't, at this point, need to worry about mold. Well, actually, we have mold detectors, so I kind of really don't need them. But I need to understand what the advantage or what helps me. When we come back, I'm going to give you the specific passage that tells you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541
or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience in education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541, or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car!
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs, whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections. I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple of things to let you know. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com, because that's my handle. All right. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. David Spoon Media, David Spoon Media, David Spoon Media. I'm just going to get a movie that says David Spoon Media. It'll just be the entire movie will be 60 seconds long, and it'll just show a nut. That's all. It'll be a self-portrait. All right, we were discussing Old Testament, New Testament, and the advantage of the Old Testament, but I want to you know, kind of jump in as we briefly discussed Jesus 78 times quoted the Septuagint. Wow, that's a lot, right? And we know that when Jesus was fighting Satan or going through the temptation process, fighting Satan, resisting Satan, he was quoting from Deuteronomy on all of them, on all of the responses. So we know that the Old Testament is filled with and teeming with life, but what we can't figure out is, you know, when you're reading certain parts of it, you're like going, ooh. Some of it's historical, history-oriented, so there's not a lot of challenge in reading the history part, but there's other things that are, you know, identifiable. When you read the Psalms, you're like going, man, that person just captured exactly how I'm feeling with words. And I mean, you know, it connects to you when you read Proverbs. You get the insight right away. When Proverbs says, you know, a foolish person judges a matter before he hears it, you go, yeah, okay, that is absolutely true. For us to evaluate an entire situation without knowing it is dumb, which is why a lot of husbands need to wait until their wife is finished before they give them what they think is the answer. Hello. Okay. But there's so much to that. So what's the passage that I'm going to pull from? I think a lot of you know it's Romans 15:4 says this, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Again, just listen to what it says, and then I want to kind of go through it. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." First and foremost, I want to say, when you read the Old Testament, if you come away reading the Old Testament and you're like, I could never do any of that. I'm nothing like that. I don't understand. Stop worrying that the scripture is there in order to smack you in the head. If God wanted to smack you in the head for your sinfulness, he doesn't have to go far and doesn't have to say much. Okay? God didn't gift us with his word, "Dear human race," Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, "love God." He didn't gift us with his word in order just to smack us with a 2x4. The word is used for rebuking, but it's also used for encouraging. It's used for many facets. And when you're reading the scripture, you should say, "Lord, I pray," and I do it all the time, just pray, that the Lord would give you insight, understanding, give you the ears to hear what he has to say. Don't speed read so that you can say, "I sped read." It's like that. Listen. How fast did you read the Bible? 30 seconds. Okay. Probably got a lot out of it, didn't you? Here's the idea. The idea is that the stuff that was written in the past, clearly making a reference to the Old Testament, stuff that was written in earlier times, was written for our instruction. What kind of instruction? Well, Jesus literally showed the Pharisees the instruction. Look at what happened with David. Get the instruction from that. Listen to what we just did when we covered Saul dealing with Samuel and not being responsive and waiting for the prophet, but trying to move ahead of the prophet and thereby moving ahead of God. Look at the insight you can get from that. Look at the instruction that you can pull from that. How about in 1 Samuel 30, verse 5, where it says, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head, but where it says, "David strengthened himself in the Lord." Well, we're never supposed to strengthen himself. Well, tell David. I mean, this is right there. And it's like, well, that matters. That counts. Of course it matters. Of course it counts. It's for our instruction. It's for our help. It's to give us insight. And this is so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, well, perseverance is us that we keep going. And I will tell you one thing. If perseverance is needed in one place, it's for people to keep reading their Bible, period. I just can't believe people understand. It's easier to read a TV Guide magazine or a People magazine than it is the Bible. Because when you start reading the Bible, you either get distractions, you get bogged down, there's all these things that happen. You understand? The enemy's just trying to keep you away from it all the time. That doesn't mean that you sit there and you walk around and you stick your face in the Bible and you never look up. That's what people do with their phones. That's irritating enough. But you need to have separated time where you get into the Word. And don't tell me that 35 or 40 minutes that you give to God on Sundays counts. Isn't that nice of you to show up for God? No. He's doing that for you. God's not getting anything out of it. It's not like God's going, "Wow, I'm loaded." Come on. But he wants us to take the time to engage. And in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Why? Because that's what he put together. Well, one day we'll do the whole, oh my gosh, it might take a month to really explain the whole breakdown of how the 66 books came together. Most of the stuff you hear is baloney. But it's more fascinating than anything else than the last, you know, X amount of hundreds of years that there's 66 books. Actually, it's been like 1,500 years that 66 books have been in a unit. And it's been so powerful. It's changed the world. I mean, it's changed the world. It's so cool, right? It's just awesome. So there has to be a perseverance in the scriptures, but there has to be an understanding that there's supposed to be an encouragement from the scriptures. And I think what happens is people read it, they come out, they go, and the enemy is just like, "Oh, that was terrible. Forget that." And people are like, and it's like, no. We're supposed to be encouraged by that. The word of the Lord is powerful in our lives. It gives us the word of the Lord is perfect, able to restore the soul. Psalm 19:7. Sorry about that. So it's like it's really important to understand that. The word of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It's mature. And it's able to restore the soul, give you a refreshment. That's why it says so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. Because the one thing that happens is that when we run out of hope, it's over. When a person runs out of hope, they're done. And the Old Testament is supposed to give us hope, too, because it's pointing towards Jesus. New Testament points back to Jesus. And it's like one points forward, the other points backwards. And it's just like you got to, oh, this is what Scripture is. Why? Because it's giving us hope. It's giving us this connection. Now, I'm not a person that believes you're supposed to worship the Bible. That's dumb. I mean, John 5 is very clear. I mean, the Scriptures are supposed to draw you closer to Christ, have you coordinate a relationship with God, and the Scriptures help you know what the voice of God is. So if God ever does speak to you, you can tell, hey, it's Him. I know. I've been reading His voice hearing His voice for years. But the point of it is to help us. So don't think of the Old Testament as like it's a drudgery. Have you read Psalms? I mean, Psalm 73 might be, to me, one of the greatest psalms ever, because the guy's like going, okay, this is bad, this is bad, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't understand this, why do you do this, I don't get this. Oh, I get to live forever with you, and the other people are not going to be happy. Oh, and then you can just tell he's all bouncy and happy. It's like, wow, we need that. Lamentations, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. That's all I got to say. I'm going to drive home today. I'm going to need the mercies to be new every morning, like tomorrow morning. Get it? The word is there to bless you, encourage you, strengthen you. Get into it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't let the devil keep you from it. That's what his goal is. Don't let him succeed. If you just read the Psalms, it'd be great. Just don't read it to just be able to say, I read it. Read it to hear what God has to say. That's not even a secret. It's the word of God. Wait, watch this. So read to hear what he's saying. There's so much material. I promise you, it's endless. I've read the Old Testament probably 35 or 40 times, New Testament at least 150, closer to 160. It's endless. It never ends. It's grace. Because there's so much that God has to say, and that's what's graceful. Got it? Get it? Keep it. Hold it. Love it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.